The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates myhealthpolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates myhealthpolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Like I said, the uppercut would be a factor and could come into play. He used the left hook and the right hand. He had every tool needed possibly to beat Lomachenko, and he showed that tonight. I told you, Lomachenko, if he take the angles away from him, he becomes ordinary, and Lopez showed that tonight.
All of that is easier said than done. You got to go out there and do it, and Lopez did it. He showed everything you could possibly want from a champion, the boxing ability, the IQ, and that 12th round, he bit down. That's old school type of stuff right there. I didn't think he was going to do it like that.
The undisputed lightweight champion of the world, the takeover, Teo Primo Lopez.
A star is born tonight.
Teo, you made history tonight at just 23 years old, becoming the undisputed champion, all four belts. Describe the feeling.
I gotta thank God, and this is for my boy that passed away earlier this year, 2 days before Kobe passed away. May Kobe rest in peace. This is for Deone, and I had to dig deep, man. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and each and every day I take that in. I thank God.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome to the Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson, and you heard some of the audio courtesy of ESPN and Top Rank Boxing. That was from the fight that took place for the undisputed lightweight championship between Teofimo Lopez and Vasily Lomachenko, and the fight was not even close. Lopez dominated the fight through and through and would go on to become the undisputed lightweight champion. And I've got him back on the program. He's coming on to recap that event and other matches that took place during this past weekend. We want to welcome him back to the program. Introduce yourself, my man.
What's good, everybody? It's your man, the myth, the legend, host of the MTMV main card, timeout, and panelist for the Huddle Up, The Voice.
All right, my man. How's everything going on in your world right now?
Oh, been better, been worse, but fortunately, things are looking up. They're looking up.
Yeah, I understand on that one, man. And things are looking up, and they're going to get better, you know, as time goes on. And speaking of looking up, of course, this past weekend was a busy weekend in the world of combat sports, boxing, and mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right to it. Again, Teofimo Lopez went up against Vasily Lomachenko in one of the most anticipated fights of this 2020 year. I mean, boxing, this was this fight was hyped up as one of the premier pound for pound fights of the year, and man, Lopez showed off his dominance in this one, winning by unanimous decision to become the undisputed lightweight champion. Just give me your thoughts on this one, Voice.
Oh, I thought it was an excellent, excellent fight. In your lead up to the introduction, you said something that I'm going to challenge a little bit. I think it was a close fight. I think it was a very close fight. I watched the fight without any audio because I didn't want to be swayed by what the commentators were saying. I just wanted to watch it and make my decisions on it. I had it a draw, and I know that Andre Ward had it that way as well. Michael Montero from Montero on Boxing also saw it as a draw. And hearing them say that helped me feel a bit better about things because, you know, others were like, oh, no, there's no way it was a draw. I was like, I don't know. I gave one round in the first half to Loma, and I gave one round in the second half to Teo. Now, I will say this. Round 7 very well could have been Teo's round, and it was clear that round 12 was. But, yeah, I had it a draw. I had it a draw. I'm not upset with the decision. I think if there was a decision given, that it should be given to Lopez. But I had it a draw. It was an excellent fight. Lomachenko took way too long to get started. And many people have attributed that to just what was being said by the analyst on ESPN right there at the end. He was able to take away the angles that Loma uses so surgically with everyone else. And then I think also his power was something that he wasn't really expecting. He wasn't – well, I'll say this. Nobody – and I mean nobody who, leading up to this fight, laid out different paths of victory, said that Teofimo Lopez will outbox him. Because we've never seen Teofimo Lopez outbox really anybody. I mean, there was a Japanese gentleman before he got the IBF belt, but you know, that one went the distance, but no, he has been just knocking everyone out. Nobody saw that. And if anyone said they saw it, they lied because nobody saw that coming. And I don't think Loma did either, which is what really threw him off. Came on nicely at the end, but not enough. And that last round, yeah, Lopez just willed himself to a win in that round because I really felt like it was up to that round to really make a definitive statement as to who will win the fight.
That's interesting that you had it as a draw, Voice, and then Andre Ward said he had it as a draw as well. But I don't know. I guess maybe different people watch fights for different reasons and they score it differently. I mean, that's why they call it judges, right? But I'm looking at I watched the fight. I just seen Loma. He just never his. We didn't get to see the footwork that he was known for leading up to this fight. I mean, Lopez just shut him down from start to finish. What were some of the points that you? What were some of the key points that you had in this fight that made you say, okay, you know what, he threw a jab or this was enough in order for you to see it as a draw?
Again, I saw probably about the first four rounds for Lopez. Round 5, I believe I gave to Lomachenko. Then I gave 6 to Lopez as well. Then 7-11, I gave to Lomachenko because he started trying to come on. Now, again, round 7 could kind of be a toss-up. Round 6 was a very, very close round as well. That one could have been a toss-up also. You know, but it was very, very clear, 8-11, that was Loma all day long. And then 12 was 12 was for Lopez. So, yeah, I gave him 5 and 7 through 11 to Lomachenko. And then 1 through 4, 6 and 12 to Lopez.
Okay, so fair enough right there. So, again, man, I mean, Teofimo Lopez won the fight by unanimous decision. And we're going to get more into the other card in just a moment. But, man, the build, the hype and the buildup up to this fight was through the roof. I mean, ESPN for, like, the whole month of October, they showed countless commercials pumping this fight up. Do you think it was, it lived up to the hype, or do you think it fell short?
Oh, I do. I definitely think it lived up to the hype, especially with the overall outcome. Lomachenko was painted as, and understandably so, as this virtuoso boxer. And whenever you see this fight, really shows how good Teofimo Lopez is, because the person that we saw him fight against, we've never seen that person before in the ring. I've never seen Lomachenko fight the kind of fight that he fought. He usually employs angles so very well. Like I said on the main event, which I'm grateful that you helped me host, he will give you angles like Barry Sanders almost, where he's standing in front of you. The next thing you know, he's standing on the side of you and punching you in your head. You know, then he switches back to the front and then to the other side, and it's so quick and it's so seemingly effortless. Oh, my goodness. It's a work of beauty, and we did not see that because of the pressure and the boxing. And little did we know, Teofimo Lopez's ability to take those things away from Lomachenko.
Yeah, rightfully so. And now that this fight is behind us now, what are the chances that we see a rematch between Teofimo and Vasily in the near future?
High. I'd say very high. Simply because of number one, they technically have all the belts, all 4 belts. The other people that would be in the running to fight are over on DAZN. And I just don't see Top Rank being able to get that kind of fight done. Has Top Rank done deals with DAZN previously? Yes, they have. Where one will be on Top Rank's provider, the other will be on DAZN through Matchroom Boxing. However, with the stakes for this fight, with as great fighters and as name brand fighters as would be involved in this, I think it's going to be hard for them to get it done. Devin Haney, they might be able to get done again because it's Matchroom. The other fighter who is making noise in this division is a Golden Boy promotion fighter. Well, Golden Boy left ESPN to go to DAZN, and I just don't see ESPN working very well. I don't think they're going to play well together to get that fight done, as well as there's animosity between Top Rank and Golden Boy also. So, yeah, I mean, Haney would be, if it got done, it'd be Haney. But that's a very, very, very long shot because Haney and Ryan Garcia are for that platform, and that platform is really struggling, especially due to COVID-19, because all they have are sports, and they haven't had any sports really to show, at least stateside, that anyone wants to watch. So, the likelihood of them fighting each other again is very, very high. I could see that being a rematch done for spring of next year at the latest, but yeah, I see that being the next fight for both of them.
Will it be on? Do you think the fight will be on ESPN again? Will it be on ESPN again, or could we possibly see it on the streaming service ESPN Plus?
That's the question. I think much of that has to do with how well this did for ESPN. If the ratings, which I haven't seen yet, but if the ratings were high enough that they could do it, because we have to remember, ESPN made the play to have this done on ESPN proper because at the time they were making the fight, they didn't have many sports properties. A lot of the college football properties were saying, no, we're not going to play. No, we're not going to play. So that Saturday night slot that they normally would give to a primetime college game was out the window. Well, now the Big Ten is back, and Mountain West is back, and the Pac-12 is back, and all of these different Power Five organizations are coming back into play. So that somewhat freed up some money to be able to do it, and it freed up the time slot to be able to do it. It depends on when they were to schedule the fight, what else is going on at that time, and if fiscally it makes sense to do it. It did for this fight. It was a special circumstance, but normally a fight of this magnitude would be on pay-per-view, at the very least on the streaming service. Now, I just don't know if the financials are in place for this to happen again. Again, like I said, the only thing that I could see it doing is, like, if it did huge, huge numbers ratings-wise, if that was the case, then they very well may try to make that happen again.
Yeah, that's some interesting points that you brought up, Voice, because now with the Big Ten and the Mountain West coming back, you know, I know ESPN, college football, as much as they love their boxing, especially boxing has held the network over in this crazy 2020 year with the college football coming back. I know college football brings in more money. It's going to be interesting how that plays out, so we'll stay tuned for it. I'm going to ask you more about the networks and things of that nature in just a moment, but we had some good fights on the the co-headliners leading up to Lopez and Loma. We had Edgar Berlanga. I mean, he destroyed this guy. He knocked out Lanell Bellows by first-round TKO. The sky is the limit. Well, really, I mean, the star is on the rise for Edgar Berlanga. Just kind of give me your thoughts on him and his performance in that fight.
Definitely a star-making performance for him. He got more eyes on him being on this card and being the opener for the card than he has for anything else. His record has been impeccable. Not only is he 15-0, but all 15 of those wins are by knockout. And if I'm not mistaken, not only are they by knockout, but they're all by first round knockout. Either way it goes, he's looking really good. He had a solid competitor that he was in against this go-round. Being at super middleweight makes things really interesting because that's where Canelo really has been kind of plying his trade. It looks as if he's not going to come back down to middleweight. Is that a roll of the dice that Top Rank will be willing to make? I don't know. But you got all those aspects of it. And like I said, he looks really good. I think he still has some seasoning to go. He's only 15 fights in. Granted, both Lopez and Loma were only 15 fights in as well, but their pedigree was a bit different than Berlanga's is. So I think he's still got a way to go before we really start looking at him as a contender in super middleweight, but things are definitely looking bright for him thus far.
Man, what about a fight? This was a bloodbath that we had between Arnold Barboza Jr. and Alex Saucedo. And Alex Saucedo, both Saucedo and Barboza are Top Rank, have been mainstays on Top Rank for the last several years. This fight was just, I mean, if these guys were fought in a phone booth from start to finish in this one. Arnold Barboza would win this fight by unanimous decision. Just your take on this fight.
Yeah, it was a very good fight. It was a very entertaining fight. A lot of action, a lot of swings of momentum within the fight. They left it all on the canvas, which is what you want to do in whatever sport or whatever you're doing in life. You want to give it your all, and you don't want to look back on things with regrets. And neither fighters should have any regrets based on the performance that they put on. They gave it their all and have nothing to be ashamed of. It just didn't go the way that one planned, and don't know if it went the way the other planned either, but at least they got the W.
All right, so that put the cap on the Loma Lopez card in the bubble in Las Vegas. All right, boys, so I asked you earlier, we talked about the potential of a Loma Lopez rematch is very high. It looks like the ESPN properties would most likely broadcast this fight. But you also mentioned about Devin Haney and also Ryan Garcia. They have potential stock in the lightweight division, but because they're on rival networks, Haney being signed to Matchroom and Garcia being a Golden Boy fighter. But who are the other contenders that could possibly try to make a run for Teofimo Lopez's lightweight crown? We know Loma is still in the mix, but who else is some upcoming challenges for that crown?
Well, there's one person that I failed to mention when I spoke of the people that are on the DAZN platform, and that's another fighter who's got a pay-per-view coming up at the end of this month, who just happens to be on another platform. He's on the Showtime platform under the PBC banner, and that's Tank Davis. Tank Davis obviously should be in the mix as well, but again, with being on those different platforms, it makes things a bit odd. Now, here's something that very well could happen as far as Lomachenko is concerned. He's a very young man. He's 23 years old. It's hard for him to make lightweight, and it was rumored that even with a win, this might be his last fight at lightweight because he is still growing into his body. He doesn't have his grown man weight on him, and he's already huge for the division. He's talked about going up and facing the winner of the Taylor Ramirez fight at 140 as a possible next step and a next move. And that would be phenomenal. All that's under the Top Rank banner. So it's something that definitely could get done and would still be on the ESPN platforms. So that's another option for him. Honestly, if he were to do that, I would say for Loma to move down, let those belts, you know, be vacant and maybe go to some other people. You know, they find some people maybe to move up, like a possible Navarrete who's fighting at 126 or so. You know, or some others coming up, like a Gary Russell Jr. Who's fighting, I think, at featherweight currently. We know Leo Santa Cruz just moved up to 130 to face off against Tank, you know, but that's someone else who could step in and do some different things. So there's a lot of movement that could be made as far as these titles are concerned.
So many moving parts in the sport of boxing, not just with the fighters, but the networks. I want to get to the networks for a moment before we talk UFC. We mentioned ESPN. We mentioned Showtime, and also we've mentioned Top Rank and Golden Boy and Matchroom and DAZN. What's the current status on DAZN right now? Because we know DAZN, the only network that has really done has been consistent with the boxing coverage in the bubble is ESPN. Now, Fox has had some fights here and there this year through the PBC banner. DAZN hasn't done much. Also, Matchroom hasn't really done anything. Showtime hasn't done much. But what's the status right now on the networks and the promotion companies that are putting on these fights? What's their status?
Just kind of taking them piece by piece. PBC is on both Showtime as well as on Fox. The fights.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, voice. Is PBC, do they still do fights on CBS as well? I know CBS and Showtime are both owned by Viacom. Are they still doing things on CBS as well?
Haven't seen anything on CBS in quite some time there.
Okay.
Their fights specifically that have been on, that have not been pay-per-view, I'll say, have been on Fox. And then the ones that do have a bit of a paywall would be Showtime. And then anything above that would be pay-per-view, whether that be Fox pay-per-view or Showtime pay-per-view. Not many Showtime pay-per-views as of late. Most of the pay-per-views that PBC has been doing have been through Fox. And I know that they've got one coming up soon with Errol Spence Jr. and Danny Garcia. So that's been how they've been operating. And they just really got back into the swing of things. PBC was one of the last ones to start fighting again. Fortunately, through their links with Showtime, they've been able to set up something where Showtime and Viacom CBS specifically is splitting what they call the fight sphere, which is the arena that they utilize in Connecticut, Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. It is a native land, so it's ruled sovereignly by the Mohegan Council, and they can have people come in and things of that nature and not have to be concerned about some of the other boxing commissions, though the Mohegan Sun Commission is absolutely fantastic, and they're actually the ones that oversee Bellator, the MMA promotion. They oversee their fights that are not sanctioned by whatever country that they may go to. So whenever they're doing things overseas, it's overseen by the Mohegan Sun Council for Combat Sports. But anyway, they've been splitting that time. One week it'll be a PBC Showtime fight. For instance, this weekend it'll be Sergey Lipinets there in the fight sphere fighting. And then the following week it'll be Bellator 250, I believe, between Gegard Mousasi and Douglas Lima. So they've been switching off and on between one another. Oh boy, since around September-ish, maybe August. I forget exactly when they started doing it, but hasn't been very long at all. But they've been switching back and forth between boxing and MMA in that specific venue. Putting fights on Showtime, putting fights on CBS Sports for Bellator. Now, the ones that they don't do there, they do through Fox, and I'm not quite sure where they've been doing those, but they'll have some shows from time to time on Fox. And that's kind of how PBC is doing things. Like I said, they've been kind of late to the game of getting back into things. As far as DAZN is concerned, DAZN handles the boxing schedules for both Matchroom Boxing as well as for Golden Boy. Golden Boy has been using Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, another Native American property that is sovereignly overseen by that Native tribe. So that's who Golden Boy has been using for their fights and setting up quarantines and things of that nature. Matchroom, they had a U.S. fight in Tulsa, downtown on the street. That was nice. It looked nice. I want to say it was in August, so it was super hot when they did it. It made for a nice background as far as the officials were concerned. Then in the U.K., DAZN, Matchroom, they did something else very nice. They used the Hearns home, which is this beautiful mansion somewhere in the UK, as the backdrop. And just in their backyard, they set up a canopy and everything, and they held fights there. That's where the Dillian White Alexander Povetkin fight was this summer, where Povetkin had like the best knockout of the year thus far, and they're going to do it again very soon, but not outdoors like they did before, because it's now summertime, and of course it gets pretty cool in the UK in the winter, so they've secured another space for all of that. Things are heating up, and they're picking up for both of those. Matchroom. Matchroom has been the most active during things, and they continue to do different shows, whether it be overseas or stateside. I haven't done much stateside, but they're working to get that picked back up as well. I know there's a card with the Ryan Garcia card that'll be stateside. But that's Golden Boy. I'm sorry, I'm confusing that. There's a card where Demetrius Andre is going to be on, and he's going to be the co-main event for, and that'll be stateside. But that's what Matchroom is doing on DAZN, and then Golden Boy, like I said, they've been here and there doing fights, just a little bit here, a little bit there. And actually, of all of the promotions, they've probably done the least. Like I said, PBC has come on the latest, but Golden Boy has done the least. And much of that is due to the contractual issues that they've been having with Canelo. It's really been holding them up on doing things. But Ryan Garcia is going to be fighting very soon, and that's going to be a good fight. He's fighting Luke Campbell. And Virgil Ortiz had a fight about a month or so ago that was a nice fight as well. But, yeah, that's pretty much the landscape as far as boxing is concerned outside of what Top Rank and ESPN are doing.
Yeah, so many moving parts in the world of boxing. But I tell you one thing, ESPN and particularly Top Rank, they've been first with when the pandemic first hit in March in the United States. They really stepped up and provided so much action and so much content all summer long, and even now with this big fight that they had with Loma and Lopez. And does Top Rank have any more fights planned in the remainder of the year? I think I saw a couple of fights, but I wasn't quite sure. Do you have any more info on that?
Yeah, next month they're going to have another fairly high-profile fight with Bud Crawford, who now, because Loma has lost, could be considered number one pound for pound. Granted, the level of competition that he's had has not been the best, and much of that is due to the politics of boxing and most of the people within that welterweight division being across the street with PBC and PBC not playing well with Top Rank. But, yeah, he's fighting Kell Brook next month, and that'll be on ESPN proper as well. But, yeah, they've got that coming up. There may be something with Fury in December. There's been a lot of talk from Fury's camp that the fight with Wilder is not going to happen and that he's going to fight again in the UK before the year is up, because of the promotional agreement that Top Rank has with them and with MTK Global. And let me say something really quickly about them, because I did not. Salute to them. They've been doing a really good job of keeping fights going as well over in the UK. And just depends on who they've associated with. Many of the MTK Global fights, though, are shown through ESPN Plus stateside due to the working relationship that Bob Arum has been able to craft with them through Top Rank and all of that, or I should say much of that has come due to the fact that he's co-promoting Tyson Fury in the U.S. Tyson is, or I should say there are rumors that he's going to fight in December, and if so, then that would be a nice fight that'll be on one of the ESPN platforms stateside. Now, very seriously, it'll be pay-per-view, but more than likely it'll be on ESPN Plus.
Man, ESPN has just been taking over, man. It's this boxing coverage in the midst of this pandemic. And then goes, and how did I forget about that? I did see the advertisement, now that you mentioned it, with Terrence Crawford going up against Kell Brook. That's going to be an exciting fight. I guess we're, you know, Voice, one thing is for sure, if a pandemic had not happened, the fight could have happened on ESPN Plus. But I guess they were able to work it out where they take advantage of it and they would put the fight on ESPN, the regular ESPN, where everybody can have access to watch the fight. That's interesting right there. So, boys, what I want you to do is I want you, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk little UFC. So that's the Voice. He's from the MTMB Sports Podcast Network, and I'm Ed Robinson. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Save time by scheduling your free flu shot at CVS today and get a $5 off $20 shopping pass. Visit cvs.com/flu to get started. No cost flu shots with most insurance. Restrictions apply. Visit cvs.com for details.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Get it.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it. Get it.
Is she gonna get it, Daddy?
She'll get it.
Get it. Get it.
Oh,
When you bring home a Goodwill fund, you give your whole town a reason to celebrate because you're also funding local job training and placement programs in tech, healthcare, and more. Goodwill. Bring good home.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plan, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose myhealthpolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START, myhealthpolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates myhealthpolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Again, I'm joined along by the voice from the MTMV Sports Podcast Network. All right, voice, so we had another fight that happened this past weekend in the UFC. It was a UFC fight night with Ortega going up against the Korean Zombie. But let's start off with the first match. It was a unanimous decision with Jonathan Martinez going up against Thomas Almeida. Just give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good fight. Martinez definitely led the dance, and there were some question marks going into it because Martinez admittedly stated that he was such a fan of Thomas Almeida. Like, he was one of the people that he looked up to in fighting and in the division. A lot of times when you fight your heroes, you may give them more respect than they need, but that's not what Martinez did at all. He employed his strategy expertly and shut out, you know, for the most part, Almeida. Almeida hadn't fought in a while, and that very well could have been part of his issue as well. He hadn't fought in 2 years plus up to that time frame. And, you know, some people say that there's no such thing as ring rust or cage corrosion, but that very well could have had an impact on Almeida's his ability to fight. I can remember when he was fighting Cody Garbrandt a couple years ago in a number one contender fight, and they were both undefeated at that time. It's like, oh, man, you know, what's going to happen? And Cody beat him and then went on to win the championship. But Almeida's had a pretty precipitous fall, and Martinez didn't help that at all by doing the things the way that he did in that fight.
All right, let's move along now to the next fight that we have, a welterweight fight by unanimous decision. James Krause defeated Claudio Silva. So just give me your thoughts on that matchup.
Oh, man, that was such a great fight. The James Krause, he's really, or at least let me say from my seeing him and any interactions I've had with him, he's a really nice guy. I got a chance to meet him here in St. Louis after the USC event that took place in 2018. He really helped to humanize fights for me because, you know, I'm a huge fights fan. You know, I watch them as often as I can. I go to them as often as I can. But it was the first time I got a chance to go to an after party and interact with the fighters after the fact and just seeing the bruises and things. Because in the fight, it didn't seem like he took much damage, but he had a pretty bad black eye after that fight that he had to keep using napkins to dab his eye with. You know, but he was very gracious. He was very nice. And he really loves coaching his fighters. That's another opportunity that I've had to interact with him. I went to the Kansas City area. I'm in St. Louis, and Kansas City is about 4 hours away. There's someone that I know who fights, and they were fighting on a card. And many of James's fighters were on that card. Just seeing him corner everyone and do everything was really interesting. He truly loves his fighters. And generally, when it comes to fighting, he's just doing it out of the love of it. He could be making a greater push for contendership and to be a champion. But he said his first love is coaching. And he's got a number of people that are coming up that need coaching in the very near future, including Megan Anderson, who will be fighting for the featherweight title versus Cyborg at the end of the year. So, yeah, it was great. He stepped in a number of times during the pandemic to, you know, just kind of fill in where he can, and it's worked out well for him. And he came in and did that to Silva, and, yeah, just did an absolutely phenomenal job.
What type of food was served at the after-party, Voice?
Oh, man, it was whatever you were ordering. It took place the what's the name of the place? They're on the property of the of Busch Stadium. Is a huge entertainment venue called Ballpark Village. There's a like a 4-story high screen. It's great for watching fights at any kind of sporting event because it feels like you're just watching the Jumbotron and you're there with everyone. You know, people come in, you know, there's a good 3,000-5,000 people in there and we're all cheering and doing things. So, yeah, it was whatever you ordered.
Okay. What did you have that night, if you remember?
Usually when I go, I get the wings. I'll get like an 8-piece wing and a soda because I'm not really a drinker. So I'm sure that's probably what I had, 8-piece wings with a soda. I'll usually get their Asian spice one. So,
okay.
Those are pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move right along now to the light heavyweight fight. I mean, this fight came and went. It was Jimmy Crute defeated Modestus Bugauskas by a first-round knockout due to punches. Man, Jimmy lit him up with a right hand, and it was all she wrote in this one. Give me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, this was a return to the brutes that we'd seen when he first came into the UFC. He came in through the Dana White Contender Series back in July of 2018. He got into the UFC by way of knockout in that fight. Then, you know, face off with Paul Craig, Kimura, face off with Sam Alvey, knocked him out. Misha Cirkunov returned the favor and put him in a Peruvian necktie. But all of the fights that he has had since being in the UFC, he's either won or lost by either strikes or some kind of submission. And he just kept the party going. Like I said, when he came in, it was like, ooh, what is he going to do? He was undefeated at the time. Cirkunov did give him his first defeat with that Peruvian necktie loss last year. But he's been doing it. He's been doing it, and it just depends on the level of opposition. Granted, Paul Craig is an excellent fighter, very battle-tested, and has been on a roll as of late. Sam Alvey has a nice record, or I should say has a nice following, and is a steady veteran too. But the higher up he goes and the more he gets tested, obviously, the more difficult it becomes. So it was nice to see him get another win streak going. Who he faces next is going to really show us more of who he is. Like I said, he came in doing well. He's from the Oceania region, and they've been able to use him in that region to continue to build their brand. So it'll be interesting to see who he fights next and how he does with that.
All right, Voice, you know, we have we had a women's fight on the main card, and man, the Brazilians continue to show off their dominance. Jessica Andrade defeated Caitlin Chikagian by first round TKO due to body punches. I mean, Jessica was dominant throughout this performance. I mean, just give me your take on her performance and just the overall makeup of this match.
I knew full well going into this fight that things could go this way, which is why I chose it as the Voices marquee matchup. Andrade being a former champion at strawweight and being someone who began her UFC career at bantamweight, she's been knocking out and destroying people in now all three weight classes, and set history as being the first woman to fight at three different weight classes within the UFC. That her body work was vicious, and it also showed a keen attention to detail. When you're fighting taller fighters, normally it's a bit difficult to get inside. She was able to get inside fairly easily, though, but instead of going head hunting, she kept throwing her blows primarily to the area that was closest to her, which is the body, and that's something that unless you're getting hit there, you're generally not defending. You know, you get hit a couple times, like, okay, let me drop my arms to do that. But most of the time, and you know from watching any kind of combat sports movie, you know, when someone's learning, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. Well, if your hands are up, they're not guarding your body. And she caught Caitlin with it was either a hook or uppercut to the liver that caused Caitlin to turn and walk away and, you know, kind of shout out, man, because the shot hurt her so bad. As fighters, you don't show that kind of pain when you're in there because you don't want to let your opponent know that they have an upper hand on you. She couldn't help it. But, again, it showed Bate Estaca's mindset when she got back over to her. Did she go head hunting? No, she didn't. She kept ripping hooks to her body until Chikagian just had to collapse, and she was literally paralyzed for a moment. That's what the body shots do. They just shut you down where you can't move and do anything. Once she fell to the canvas, though, then Andrade start hitting her in the head because she could not really get to the body at that point. Because, again, now she's covering her body up, which is what you do when you get hurt. So it was excellent and rockets her to the top of the list of contenders at flyweight. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what she does, and I'm really excited to see her possibly face off against the champion, Valentina Shevchenko, because outside of the GOATs or GOATs, Amanda Nunes, Valentina has steamrolled everyone that she's fought. Andrade has the kind of power that could make for a much different fight. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that happen if that were to take place next for Shevchenko, should she get past Jennifer Maya.
Yeah, that will be a good match between her and Valentina. That'll be interesting right there. And then we had the main event between Brian Ortega going up against the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung. Watching this match, it wasn't even close, boys. I mean, Brian Ortega showed off his dominance in this fight, winning by unanimous decision. What was your take on this one?
My take on this fight, which was on ESPN Plus just before the main card for the Loma Lopez fight, was, oh my goodness, I did not expect to see Brian Ortega win on the feet. Chan Sung Jung is a warrior. He goes super hard. He's called the Korean Zombie for a reason. He takes shots and just keeps coming forward and keeps coming forward. But Ortega was able to show off that within the 2 years that he's been out, he hasn't just been out, but he's been out and developing his game. He was not able to fight against Max Holloway the way that he fought against Chan Sung Jung. Had he been able to do that, it would have been a different fight. He would not have been the one getting shut out like he just shut out Chan Sung Jung. It would have been a much more competitive fight. Ortega, he said, look, it changed me. I knew I had to tighten up my defense. I can't just go forward and punch and think that I'm going to be successful. So, yeah, it was masterful, absolutely masterful. And like I said, it was such a pleasant surprise, just like in the Loma Lopez fight. It was the same thing. It's like, wow, I didn't expect him to do that. In this realm, in Loma Lopez, you thought if Lopez won, he would win by knockout as he had in all his other fights, not that he would outbox him. Going into this fight, you thought that if Ortega were to be victorious, it would be because the fight got to the ground and he was able to utilize his vaunted Brazilian jiu-jitsu background. But that's not how it happened. So that really was refreshing. And like I said, it was a nice surprise to see it work out with him being able to do it, utilizing his stand-up skills. He's used them in the past. The last notable time he did so was when he knocked Frankie Edgar out. Oh, my goodness. And I still can see that uppercut he hit Frankie with and literally – lift him off his feet. And that was the first time that Frankie Edgar had ever been knocked out. So it's not that he didn't have some of those skills before, but he didn't utilize them the way that he did in the Chan Sung Jung fight, being very methodical, being more defensive-minded, and he just whooped him from pillar to post. Even when it looked like Korean Zombie was coming back in round two, he turned things around, again, showing new wrinkles, hit him with that spinning back elbow, which I'm sure just totally changed the Korean Zombie's outlook on the fight, because the last time he lost due to a spinning back up elbow by Yair Rodriguez with like 5 or 10 seconds left in the fight that he was winning. And it knocked him completely out. He was laying still and unresponsive for a couple minutes. So after he got hit and dropped with that, I'm sure he was like, okay, hold on, wait a minute. I just got dropped in round one, and now, you know, here comes another spinning elbow attack. Fortunately, it was mostly the arm and not the point of the elbow, or we'd be talking about the spectacular finish that Brian Ortega had. So, yeah, I mean, it was masterful. It was absolutely masterful. And I can't wait to see him continue to evolve and whether or not he'll be able to use these newfound skills in his title matchup with Alexander Volkanovski.
I was just going to ask you about moving forward. You mentioned that Brian Ortega has a chance to take on Alexander Volkanovski for the featherweight title, but also Max Holloway is in the way. Max Holloway is one of the top contenders as well. Do you think Brian gets a shot first at Alexander, or Max will get the shot first at the title?
Well, Dana White said that this was a number one contenders fight, and whoever won this matchup would face Volkanovski next for the title. So that goes to Ortega. Max has done very well. Unfortunately, though, he lost to Volkanovski twice. Now, granted, I feel like he won the second fight, that Max Holloway did, but the judges didn't see it that way. And when you've lost twice and you lose twice in a row, the likelihood of you getting another title shot in the near future is really, really low, which is the reason why this was the number one contenders fight.
All right, well, Voice, give me your highlights and lowlights of the card.
All right, well, highlights of the card, I'd say it was just, again, Andrade. What she did was just absolutely phenomenal. That, I didn't say this in the lead-up, but that was the Voice's marquee matchup. So that was the fight that I was most interested in seeing, because I knew that with a win, Andrade would probably be number one, and sure enough, she was. But not only is she number one, it's the way that she did it. She showed that, you know, her power still carries. And not only does it carry, but she doesn't have to knock you out throwing to the head. She can knock you out with body shots as well. She was using her patented grappling and slams. I mean, it was beautiful, and it really has me excited about the future. As far as lowlights are concerned, on this card, I mean, really, at least on the main card, really no lowlights. All the fights were good. All the fights were somewhat competitive. And even if they weren't competitive, they were entertaining. So, yeah, nothing disparaging about this card, at least not in my eyes.
All right, well, Forrest, great job as always. And before we let you go, just tell everybody about what you do over at the MTMB Sports Podcast Network with the main card, Timeout, and the Huddle Up.
Absolutely. Well, the main card is our Fight Nights podcast or program for the MTMV Sports Network. Put that out once a month, and then to accompany it, I try to put out a Fight Night update weekly. On the main card, you will get picks and really insight on what the fighters' strengths and opportunities are. For all intents and purposes, it's like a verbal program for you. You know, you go to fights and you purchase a program to see people's their records and their weight classes and things. We give you all of that kind of information with background to have you informed regarding the fight. And then, of course, I give you the Voice Marquee matchup, which is a maybe under the radar kind of fight that you need to pay attention to, because either it has a high probability for fireworks or the stakes of the fight is very high. So that's what you get both for. You get information both boxing as well as MMA, and not just UFC, but ONE Championship as well as Bellator coverage and PFL coverage and, you know, the different major organizations that are out there. So that's what you see in the main card. Fight Nights update will give you information weekly about breaking news in the world of combat sports. And then with the Huddle Up, I, along with all of the MTMV Sports podcast hosts, we get together and we do just a collective team podcast where we talk about fantasy matchups and historical things, as well as give our takes regarding current news in sports. It gets very, very spicy on the Huddle Up. We have a lot of spirited debate over there, and encourage you to check that out wherever you can. iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, we're on a number of different radio stations, including Dash Network. So, you know, check us out in those different places. And then my favorite podcast to do is Time Out, which is where we take a step back and assess the game of life, looking to God for strategies to bring us true success. So weekly, we'll have a 5-minute inspirational podcast that nicely, or at least I feel like nicely, interweaves the world of sports with the word of God. And it's really my baby. That's what I love doing most. And it's one of our more listened to shows as well. So I want to encourage you to check that out. It comes out on Sunday. So, you know, starting your week off right with Time Out and getting, again, some inspirational information to help you with making the best decisions as far as life is concerned.
Oh, man, that's wonderful to hear your voice. And, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, again, where can they find you on social media, as well as any of the podcasts that you mentioned on any of the podcasting platforms?
All right. Go in reverse order. So as far as the shows are concerned, you can catch them on all of your major podcasting platforms. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're now on iHeartRadio as well. We're on Dash Radio Network. The Huddle Up is Kingdom Life Radio. The Rock in Texas. Just a number of different places. But for podcasts specifically, I'd say look to iHeart, Apple, or Spotify. You'll catch us in those three outlets fairly easily. And just look for MTMV Sports. MTMV stands for My Team, My Voice. As far as I'm concerned on social media, all of my social media has the same handle, and I'm on Facebook, not very much, but I have a Facebook account. If you really want to interact with me, Twitter is the place to do it. I also will do some things on Instagram, and it's the voice on everything. And that's THA, V as in Victor, O, Y as in Yankee, Z as in Zulu. So yeah, that it's the voice on everything. And my name predates the show, but I also spelled it a bit differently because I knew that specific term was a little too too easy, and I'm sure the others will use it. So, yeah, I'm special. THAVOYZE. That's for your man, the myth, the legend, the voice.
You heard it from him. He is the voice. He's the host of the main card, the Huddle Up, and also the Time Out podcast is available exclusively through the MTMB Sports Podcast Network. Voice, thank you once again, man. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thank you so much. Look forward to talking with you again very soon, hopefully, maybe next week to recap UFC 254.
All right, you've got that. And, again, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. Remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. We're out of here. We're going to leave you with some more audio from Teofimo Lopez and Vasily Lomachenko. It's courtesy of ESPN and Top Ranked Boxing. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Like I said, the uppercut would be a factor and could come into play. He used the left hook and the right hand. He had every tool needed possibly to beat Lomachenko, and he showed that tonight. I told you, Lomachenko, if he take the angles away from him, he becomes ordinary, and Lopez showed that
tonight. All of that is easier said than done. You got to go out there and do it, and Lopez did it. He showed everything you could possibly want from a champion, the boxing ability, the IQ, and that 12th round, he bit down. That's old school type of stuff right there. I didn't think he was going to do it like that.
The undisputed lightweight champion of the world, the takeover, Teo Primo Lopez!
A star is born tonight.
Teo, you made history tonight at just 23 years old, becoming the undisputed champion, all four belts. Describe the feeling.
I gotta thank God. And this is for my boy that passed away earlier this year, 2 days before Kobe passed away. May Kobe rest in peace. This is for Dione. And I had to dig deep, man. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And each and every day I take that in. I thank God first, man, because I couldn't do it without him. I walked by faith for a reason. And I had to dig in there. And now, it feels good.
In that 11th round, right before you came out for the 12th, your father said you got...
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose myhealthpolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START, myhealthpolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at MyHealthPolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at MyHealthPolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for. And done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at MyHealthPolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at MyHealthPolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called MyHealthPolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose MyHealthPolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START, MyHealthPolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. It's hit movies, current shows, live sports, trending bits, and timeless hits. And that's why you can't not watch. Peacock, watch for free, upgrade for more. Stream now at peacocktv.com. Law and Order SVU streaming now.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.